Blog Talk Radio.
We're coming to you live from Take the Dress Off. How's everybody doing out there? We're still coming to you from two separate states, talking about a certain theme known as...
How many more championships do you guys think we're going to predict, Andrew?
Gentlemen, the only question is, not will they repeat, but how many times?
You know, I don't think we're talking about a repeat, a three-peat, or even a four-peat.
That's right. We're talking a minimum eight-peat.
What's going on, everybody? The Primetime Prophets. Okay. Yeah, malfunction. Primetime Prophets back. Welcome to the 3-hour Miritich special. Hashtag Miritich Rising.
Yeah.
I'm Darren. That's Greg who's going to talk.
All right. So, yeah, so I guess we're getting into the Bulls stuff first for the Bears signing.
Well, we can get it either or. I mean, the Miritich stuff's pretty much going to go and go and go. So, might as well. What do you think will take longer?
Well, fine. We'll get into the Bears stuff later. Save the detailed stuff for later. So I guess with the the Bulls, just go ahead with the Bulls.
Sure. Okay. So as everybody knows, we've bragged about it a lot. Miritich was predicted for years on this show to be exactly what he is right now, and the Bulls' title hopes are pretty much renewed. Do you agree with that?
And it's like I'm kind of back and forth on the whole thing. Sometimes I wonder if my initial prediction was right all along because the team's coming together, and it's just I had the case of watching way too much NBA game to game that then you kind of get thrown off and sucked into it rather than, like, the best way to predict things, especially for NBA, is if you just watch, you kind of check up on the teams. Like, you watch one game, like, no more than, like, one game a week or, like, you know, one game every other week or something like that just to see how things are going and that maybe that's what I got sucked up into. But I don't know, I'd still have to say, since I'm going this route and I've watched all the games, I have to say that I don't think they can win a title.
See, okay, hold on. Actually, can you link me again to the... Actually, I got it. Never mind. I got it now. So, okay. Sorry. Anyways, the Bulls can win, I think. However, it all depends on if Derrick Rose gets in the way of Nikola Mirotic. Because it's gotten to the point where... I got all this stuff playing. It's gotten to the point where Mirotic is just... He's the guy in the fourth quarter. He's the best. He's the best player on the floor. He's the best big man we pretty much have overall. Like, he scores better than all of them. The offense flows through him. When Derrick Rose comes back, who's a ball-handling, heavy player, I have a feeling things are not going to coexist well in the fourth quarter. Trade Derrick Rose. Hashtag trade Derrick Rose.
Yeah, it's like the whole thing with that, it's kind of hard now because now the Bulls' biggest problem really is just trying to figure out how to manage these minutes because you just have too many great players. Like, we went over this before.
Yep.
If you read the 12-man roster, it's like everyone's just amazing. Like, now the problem is, well, obviously, you know, Bairstow should be the one who's inactive, but how it's set up now is McDermott can't even be active on this team because they can only have 12 people active. And then once Rose comes back, both Bairstow and McDermott are going to have to be inactive just because there's way too much talent on this team that it's really hard to decide how you're going to allocate these minutes. But so far, Fizz has done a really good job with the Miritich thing because even though he doesn't start, it kind of works out well because he always ends up hot in the fourth and he always finishes out the game. So everything's going well with the Bulls. And even Todd is getting his minutes in. So for once, Fizz is actually managing his minutes really, really well lately. Everybody's minutes.
But everyone talks shit about him like he can't manage minutes. But really, yeah, they've had some bad luck health-wise this year, but it's stuff you can't avoid. Like, I didn't know Tom Thibodeau was black and weighed 280 pounds and was named DeAndre Jordan, who hurt Jimmy Butler. I didn't know Tom Thibodeau was responsible for Derrick Rose's bad meniscus that was repaired and that was 50% or more chance to fail.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, so he performed the surgery on Derrick Rose's knee.
Yeah, it's like, that's not Thibs at all. Yeah, sure. Has he managed minutes great in the past? It doesn't necessarily matter because Luol Deng you said it on last time, Luol Deng was super healthy when he was with Thibodeau, constantly. He played with some injuries, but he didn't have anything major. But before that, he couldn't stay on the court for 20 games.
Yeah, and really the whole thing with that, too, was, with the 20 games thing, because he just kept getting injured all the time. Another thing, too, is I noticed because I watched a lot of old Derrick Rose stuff. I was going back, watched a lot of games in 2012, and people forget, like, actually, that Rose was in his peak, actually, that 2012 year, like, when he started off that season with the on the Lakers and stuff, and then he just had some crazy games. Go back and watch that for anyone. Watch 2012 highlights. It was before, honestly, he was doing great. He kept getting hurt, but they were all minor injuries, and then he nothing major happened until they decided before the playoffs to pull him out, and then even when he was cleared, they kept sitting him. And then I remember I said this on the show before. This was back in 2012. This was a long time ago. I said it, but I didn't know if I agree with it now or I didn't know all the details back then, but I said he got injured because of what I called the glass case effect, where it's like you keep somebody in like a glass case and try to preserve them and try and, you know, baby them too much. Then as you baby them, they become weaker. And then, like, the more you try and play it safe, the more injured you end up getting. And then I went back and watched that. And then after refreshing my memory, that's totally what happened. Because if he would have played, because it's like what Tim talks about, deconditioning. If he would have played the end of that season, most likely the stability, or at least the odds would have gone way down, being that the stability muscles in his knees wouldn't have weakened so much from not playing. And then when he comes back, the odds of injury would have been a lot lower rather than not playing. He literally, like, for the last, like, quarter of the season, he didn't, like, play at all. He didn't do hardly anything. And then that's what caused him to not be able to perform at the same level. And then even when he tried and was starting to get back into it, boom, his knee's out. That's just what happens. And then the other thing, too, is the whole practice thing is, back then, that was when the teams were running full practice, and Rose would, you know, players would purposely hard foul Rose, so then he would still finish the shot. And if you go back and watch that from up until that 2012 point, like, this whole argument, like, Stacey King will make, well, the reason why, you know, he'll pass out and doesn't drive in like he used to is because, you know, he's double, and that's the correct play. But if you watch back then, it didn't matter how many guys were on. Like, you could have the whole
guys.
Yeah, you could have, like, six guys, and I mean, still can't just drive in your face and hit the layup. He shot 65% when driving in, and probably, like 90% of that 65% was all in double coverage. So it didn't matter who was under the hoop. He just finished in your face. Like, that was the whole – that was Derrick Rose. He's going to drive into a whole team of defense, and he's still going to finish somehow. That was the whole point. Or he'll finish and draw the foul. Like, it didn't matter who was over there.
Or it didn't matter. His floater was so effective. If he knew he couldn't get it, he'd just do the floater. It was super high arcing, and he made that at a crazy percentage.
Yeah, and his three-point percent was even higher back then, too, in 2012.
Yeah.
That was when, yeah, obviously 2011 was when he added it. And then he had another prediction on the show. Once he started hitting that shot, I said, oh, my God, he's going to be unstoppable now because his mid-range and driving game was just too much to handle. Then once he extends it out to three, he'll be totally unguardable because you can't – if you take the three away, then, you know, obviously he's going to drive on you. And if you let him shoot the three, then you're just going to get killed. So he would be unstoppable at that point. That's what, you know, created that offensive – complete mastery, and he just dominated everybody. But then now it's like, that's why I don't think he can be the same guy anymore, because if you watch, even though maybe top speed, which I'd still argue he can't top speed run as fast, regardless, his acceleration and lateral explosiveness is not even close to what it used to be, especially the lateral explosiveness. If you go back and watch those highlights, his crossovers, like, he was in the talks with Allen Iverson. Like, some people were debating who's better. Well, not who's better, but, like, they're saying, you know, this is the best person crossing people off since Allen Iverson. Like, there's Allen Iverson, and then there's Derrick Rose, a close second for who's the fastest, most agile point guard of all time. Now it's like Rose is, like, an above-average crossover at best. Like, when was the last time you saw Rose actually, like, break somebody's ankles like he did? And even going back, like, 2010 and back, like, you don't see him breaking, like, DeAndre Jordan's. Who's that? Andre Miller's ankles and getting these crazy blocks, and he can't take off from as far as he used to.
On that note, I will say he supposedly had pain in his knee most of the year, so that meniscus could have been damaged a long time ago. So I'm curious to see what it's going to be when he gets back in shape. Really, next year, like, I don't know if he's going to pull it together for the playoffs. I just don't see him getting in that kind of conditioning that fast.
I think that
the burst will come back now that the knee's more healthy.
I think it's mostly like a leg strength thing, and just with his training, and then
true. That
combined with the making his upper body a lot bigger, that kind of ruined him because he relied on that agility. It's like there's no reason for like a 5'10 guy in basketball to get bulked up. Like, you're not going to play center. You don't have to worry about getting bulked up. Like, most people should get bulked up or, you know, potentially small forwards if that's your play style, but that should be it. Like, shooting guards and point guards should really never get bulked up. It's just a waste of time. Like, anyone shorter than LeBron, there's really no point in getting bulked up, especially Derrick Rose, because All it does is really slow him down. There's no, especially arm strength. Like I've said this before, but arm strength is, other than shooting, like, you know, to extend your range and be able to shoot with better form from further away, there's absolutely zero benefit to arm strength in basketball. Like that doesn't do anything. It just weighs you down. You're just adding more weight to your arms. If anything, all you want is leg strength with some core strength, and that's literally it. The rest of it is all just a complete waste of time. And shoulder strength goes along with the shot. But to finish up with Derrick Rose, the thing with that's the main reason why I think this team isn't going to pull it together, because I don't think he's going to be that same guy. And, you know, obviously he can be a less effective guy, but then you run into consistency problems and just the whole chemistry problem too, how nobody knows who's going to take the last shot, Derrick Rose or Butler, and Rose hasn't played with some of those guys, and Rose isn't familiar with Mirotić, and they just kind of haven't been together long enough to sort of pull us together. It's like that same problem as a pickup team, but yeah, go ahead.
That's why the Bulls need to just trade Derrick Rose and just shut him down for the season and let Mirotić take over for the playoffs. But that's my only concern. Like, I think the Bulls could win the finals if Derrick Rose had played more this year and if Derrick Rose would defer to Mirotić. But for the last shot, if Rose is open, that's fine. Rose is great. He's his killer with the last shot. But Mirotić has dominated every team he's played. I'm looking at his monthly stats, and it's like since post-All-Star break, he's shooting like 43%. He's averaging 17 points a game in 27 minutes. Like, that's ridiculous. He's getting about seven rebounds a game, and he has a block or two a game. So he's the best player on the Bulls right now. There's no two ways around it. He's pretty good on defense. He gets blocks. He'll get a steal occasionally. Like, he's pretty active as well. He definitely stepped up when Thibodeau told him he needed to play better defense. My concern is, I think I saw a number today. Rose has only played like 250 minutes. Yeah, I guess that would be right maybe. With Mirotić, it's something crazy, like a very low number. And that's concerning because Mirotić is this star. He's this stud. He's the go-to guy. He's one of the hottest players in the NBA. And no one can really stop him. Like, if they play the Cavs in the fourth quarter, I guarantee LeBron is covering Mirotić if the game is close. No doubt about it. Which, Derek always steps up, and he did this year as well when he plays good point guard. Now, can he do that for an entire series, seven games? I don't know, but if he comes back, he said he's not going to pace himself, which he seemed to be pacing himself this year. So Derek says a lot of things, so I don't believe anything until it happens. But Derek, if he comes back and just stops shooting the three, shoot the three when you're open. Don't try to do the step back and shoot the three, because even in 2012, like, he was a good three shooter, but he's still very streaky. Like, he would go 9 for 11, and then he'd go 1 for 11.
Well,
he was very streaky.
That's the other thing, too, is with the streaky thing. That didn't start until they stopped letting him play. Like, he was consistently good or great. Like, there was never an off game or an average game. It was either really good or great. That's what made him the MVP, too, was constantly playing. And that's the whole thing, you know, with that, you know, consistency thing and just playing all the time, is that's how you that's really the main cause of, you know, that consistency is just how much do you play. And that's why, unless you're an old veteran, you should be playing all the time because you're still developing and you still need to learn all those things and all those skills. Unless you're, you know, like, yeah, I've said this like 100 times, unless you're like a Pau Gasol or Tim Duncan, that's as good as you're going to get. And just preserving, you know, miles on the car type of thing and reducing the chance of injury, you know, as long as you can still do everything you can do, there's really no reason for you to play. But for a guy like Rose, and same thing, and even with a guy like Noah, where they're a type of player where it was funny because he was even saying in an interview, you know, how he said Rose, or not Rose, Noah, how when he had that slump a couple of years ago now, saying, it's because he's out of shape because he's, you know, he doesn't get in shape off season. He only gets in shape with basketball. I think that was after the strike season 2012.
Yeah.
Or no, 2011, going into that year. Maybe it was 2012. I'm not totally, or no, I think it was 2011. He came out, he was really slow and everything, and was just struggling. That's because he has to play basketball to get in shape for basketball.
I think it was the 2012 season. It was the start. It was the year Derek tore his ACL. Yeah, you're right. It's 2011 going into 2012.
But anyway,
it's
like,
right.
Chuck Swirsky was asking maybe he was working out, and then he was saying, man, workout's the last thing I want to hear going to All-Star break. And he's saying, maybe I'll work out once this whole All-Star break max. And then that's just funny because that's just how he is, which is fine because, you know, if he works hard in-game and in practice, then he's still going to get into shape, even if he can't get himself to do it. It's, you know, it's totally fine. But you have to recognize that in players. And that's why this whole guard tax mentality of just sitting everybody and never practicing, it's just it's not going to work. And that's been the biggest, like, cancer to this team is the lack of chemistry. And just when you watch it, it's like everyone's playing pickup games. But like you're saying, this team chemistry-wise, they're finally getting it together a little bit at least.
And
like, they're
Derek's
still
coming.
Like how they are right now, they should have been like 2 weeks into the season. They should have just gotten better. They're still so far from their potential. And then, but now, yeah, like you're saying, then when Derek comes back, it's going to really mess up the chemistry because you're just it changes all the aspects.
Like, had Derek been a part of this whole time, I'd feel really good. Even if he wasn't the MVP Derek Rose, but he was, say, deferring to Mirotić when Mirotić is hot. Which, I mean, he seemed to let Butler take over at times, so... But Derrick Rose is greedy in the fourth quarter. He's going to jack up. He takes a lot of bad shots. Like, he shoots you out of games now, which he never did. I'm just hoping he comes back and just tries to remember his game and doesn't try to become this Ray Allen shooter that he's tried to do. Like, when he played the Cavs and he scored 30 points and had, like, 7 assists or whatever, he was attacking, he was aggressive, he was doing a floater, he was going to the rim. Whether he's got the burst or not, got to go to the rim. He's going to get calls in the playoffs. Like, it will happen. He's got to get to the rim when he's on the floor. That's fine. Just get out of the way in the fourth quarter. Don't get in Mirotić's way. Don't get in the MVP of the league's way, okay?
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, with the whole Rose thing. Like I was saying, even though he is less, you know, even if he can't be as good, like if he was healthy and played all, if they had done the previous surgery, like I was saying, if they should have taken the meniscus out from the start, knowing Rose's history, rather than trying to do the healing process and just basically, you know, like, well, there's a terminology for that. I don't know, like a Trojan horse or something to Thibodeau. Basically, you're just trying to make him look bad, and is what it's certainly what it turned out to, at least with the media's reaction. If they hadn't done that, then, yeah, I mean, this team, you know, I thought it for sure it was almost a lock that they were going to win because you got, well, that combined with before limiting practice. I mean, it's like you have the best defensive coach. This roster blows away the 2011 and 2012 roster, and just there's just so much talent, so much depth. And then even the guys we weren't sure about, like Tony Snell and Etuan Moore and even Mirotić, they proved that they were amazing. So it's like this team was a lot. And Powell turned out to be in his prime. This was his best season of his entire career. So, yeah, it was a total lock that Bulls were going to win the finals. But then it just sucks with all this interference. And then, you know, this thing with Rose, it's just the same story over and over again. That's why, too, it's like the same thing every year. Like if Rose comes back and he's the same guy, if Rose, it just sounds like all the fans have become like wives with this unrealistic trust in their husbands. Yeah, but if he just gets it back together, it's like, you know, like if it's some relationship
but
or something. But if he just stops drinking and gets it together, everything's been great. It's like, yeah.
But at least there's a legitimate, like...
Oh, yeah, because he's got it together. He signed up for the 12 steps of alcohol recovery, and it's going to happen.
For the first time, there's, like, actually legit. Like, last year with the meniscus, everyone kind of knew there was a chance it could tear. So it's like that's kind of looming over everyone's head. Now at least – now there's no excuses. Now that this is finally the no-excuses period of the Derrick Rose return. Like, your meniscus is out. Your body is as healthy as it's been in years, absolute years, since he first came back from ACL surgery. So there's no excuses, Derek. You have to come back and be good, or it's time to go another direction, or it's time for you to just play point guard and stop trying to be this, you know, this 30 points a game guy. Just play smart. That's all I want Derek Rose to do when he gets back. We don't need him to be the closer. If it comes down to it, everyone's cold and Butler's cold and Mirotić isn't doing it, well, sure, let Rose have his shot at closing. But right now, he should defer to those on the team. Just play smart basketball. And Derrick Rose is always going to draw attention because he's Derrick Rose still. Like, no doubt about it, in the playoffs, he will get trapped at times. As soon as – you know, it's only going to take – Derrick's going to have those good games in the playoffs. They just – they're going to play the Bucks in the first round. But the problem with that – or they're probably going to play the Bucks in the first round. The problem with that is they're going to probably beat them in four games, although I could see the Bulls losing one, although not with Mirotić.
Yeah, it's a lock that the Bulls are advancing no matter who's – like, even if Mirotić died tomorrow, the Bulls are still going to advance.
Don't jinx them. We could come up with too much crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, speaking of Kevin Durant and bone cancer, you know, bone – like, transplant, like, surgery or grafting or whatever because his bones – he has bone problems. Oh, like, yeah. Oh, man, here we go.
Joking about that in 2K forever.
Yeah, since 2K13 when they
– Time profits.
It's good or bad, it's going to happen.
But with Derek, he just has to play smart basketball. Just don't get in the way. Obviously, he's been watching the team. He knows how they're playing. If I was Derek Rose, I would say, this team's working. We're winning games. How do I fit into this right now? Let me work a way in. And once I'm working in, then I have leeway to do this and leeway to do that. Mike Dunleavy said the same thing. He's like, you know, when Rose comes, you know, he's like, Rose is a ball-dominant guy, so we're going to have to figure that out when he gets back. So, but just play smart. And at least Mirotić comes off the bench,
So for four, although he's hot in the fourth quarter, so it's like, just get out of his way, Derek. That's it. That's all I want to say. That's all I want to say, Derek Rose. Get out of his way.
That's
don't
like,
get in his way.
It's like in interviews, you know, everyone says how much they like each other, and you know, it's all his team. Like I call it like this. It's almost like in a cult where it's like everyone has the same exact mindset. They all seem almost brainwashed, even though it's not the case. That's just how Garpax developed this team. It's, you know, that's the side I like about Garpax. It just, if they just did the actual job of GMing and not the job of trying to interfere with coaching, like, this would be perfect. But they try and, you know, interfere, and then that's how we run into all these problems. But the thing was Mirotić Rose, like, everyone says they love, like, Mirotić is probably the most liked guy on the team, honestly, with all the interviews. But even Rose loves Mirotić, too. So based on
what did
that,
he say?
So, well, it's just like, you know, same old stuff as everybody else. You know, so it's like everybody says the same thing. Like I can predict what everybody will say all the time. But it's like, based on that, you know, hopefully Rose will give him the ball, because before, obviously, the problem was Mirotić was staying open on three and nobody gave it to him. But now, you know, Mirotić says he loves how his team has faith in him now. And, you know, they have, they let, give him the responsibility and sort of, like, you know, hand him the keys to the fourth so he can take over. And I think Rose, all right, I hope Rose, based on what he said, will do that, and he doesn't get all, you know, a term we can't use there, but he doesn't get that way, and he just, you know, wants to drive and gets totally blind, like Westbrook vision, and just wants, which, he, you know, I mean, he doesn't do that, but just with Mirotić and guys like that where they can shoot the three.
Yeah, and Mirotić isn't even shooting the three right now as well. Last night he was incredible with the – did you see that one? There was the, I think about the third three where he was like – this is the Mirotić special. He was like, I don't know, 4 feet back from the three line, 5 feet back from the three line, and he steps back from that and then he hits a shot. It's like, oh, cool.
Yeah, no, Mirotić has just been great all around. Like, there's like, it's
he's
been
the best,
it's been amazing.
He's the best player in the Bulls. Like,
but,
that's
I
not
mean,
even being a homer. He's the best player in the Bulls.
I said this too, but just to reiterate, like I said, like, Mirotić is the franchise. Like, it sounds like a joke, but no, like, he literally is the franchise. Like, he's the future of this team. He's the face of this team. He's the, he's the franchise. There's no other.
Chicago loves him.
Well, yeah, everyone loves him. Oh, by the way, speaking of Chicago, yeah, the, like some, I don't know what some means because I didn't hear it, but that's what, Walt, I think that's his name, Walt Frazier, guy who played with, like, the Knicks or whatever. He was saying that he's doing the announcing, which was pretty interesting, New York commentary. It's like old school. It's like people, it's like the exact opposite of Stacey King. Like, it's old, relaxed. It's kind of like the old 80s Jordan dunk contest. So you have, like, those two guys. Like, you know, it's a totally different style. But that was interesting, having to watch that instead of CSN. But yeah, I was saying some Bulls fans, which, like, are a big portion, were booing Thibs when he was announced, you know, in Chicago, which is pretty pathetic. That just goes to show my lack of faith in Chicago as a whole when it comes to their average level of IQ.
Idiots.
This show, our only market now is Chicago, and we just shit talk all the Chicagoans. Like, hey, you're a bunch of idiots.
You are. Like, if you think Tom Thibodeau should not be the head coach of the Chicago Bulls, you are a moron.
Even our last caller.
Like, last I like that guy. He's,
yeah, yeah,
he,
no,
he knows,
like,
his stuff. He had a good
oh,
argument,
yeah,
against it.
I like him too.
But I think he's wrong.
Yeah,
that's why I'm not being, you know, it's just my opinion. And, you know, the proof will be in the pudding at some point.
Yeah, I still said Rose and Thibs rely on each other. I said, pretty much all we do is hop on here and reiterate the same stuff and brag about how we're right and then get off. And then it's like, should we do a show? It's like, yeah, we could do a show, but all we're going to do is brag about the same stuff. Because it's like Rage Against the Machine music. It just becomes more relevant with time. Like, play a show from 5 years ago probably makes more sense than our latest shows do, even though it's so old.
Here's the deal with the whole Thibodeau thing. Like, can you win a championship without Thibs? Yes, but your team has to be even better than it is now, and you have to have a really smart coach. Like, great coaches can make up for a team that's not as good as another team that they're playing. Like, the Bulls, they haven't really had great teams, but Thibodeau keeps just dominating. Granted, they haven't had playoffs and success in the playoffs, so that's because Derrick Rose has been out, and they haven't had a star to go to. Now, with a guy like, all right, so say this scenario comes up, and I've been saying this for a while. Mirotić turns into an all-star. He's one of the best players in the league. I think that's going to happen. Like, no doubt. I think he's the next Dirk. I've been saying this forever. Say Derrick Rose isn't the MVP anymore, but he's just a really good player, and he starts to pass more, and he becomes a better passer, because he's probably the worst passer on the team.
Yeah, no, then they probably win a finals if they still have Tom Thibodeau, for
sure.
Well,
see, but then I think if you can get a smart coach and win. So, like, a guy like Eric Spoelstra, honestly, is a pretty damn good coach.
Yeah, I just think that drop-off is way bigger than people realize, because no one remembers. Oh, yeah, I should bring that
up. You have to have a better – the moral of the story is they're going to have a better team. overall. I mean, right now they got a pretty stacked team. Like, you can't really have a better team than you have now. This team should win a championship every year.
Yeah, I was going to look that up if you want to keep filling in. I was going to look up the draft class from the old Bulls pre-Tom Thibodeau.
Oh,
so everyone who thinks, you know, that these new rookies are great, which they are, I still argue that 90% of that is – well, not 90%, but a high percentage of that is really just Tom Thibodeau. I'm looking
up. And the Bulls the Bulls getting Mirotić was crazy because he got drafted – I forget where he got drafted, but then he got traded to the Rockets, then he got traded to the Bulls. It's like, oh, that's the best trade they ever made. I still can't believe people wanted Taj Gibson and Mirotić to be traded for Kevin Love.
All right.
That's crazy.
All right, here we go. You got Eddie Bastin. Don't know what he's doing. Stephen,
who's that guy?
Stephen Graham. Randy Holcomb. This is a lot of draft.
They're not real. They're not real.
Luke Schenster, some center.
Let's go with the first two rounds.
Well, they are only two rounds NBA draft. Tabo Sevilosha, okay, he actually turned out, kind of. And then Tyrus Thomas, he had the talent, but it was a mental nutcase and fell apart. So that's the other thing, too, is even though I say this is like an occult group, I still think most of that is Tom Thibodeau, not Garpak. So I take back what I said.
I agree. Garpak put that together.
Because, I mean, what happened when John Paxson signed, you know, drafted that guy who I just, Tyrus Thomas, like what happened there? Would Thibs allow something like that? No way. Like that. I just think Tom Thibodeau's effect is way bigger. Then next year, Thomas Gardner, Detremis Nichols, and then Joakim Noah. Even Joakim was a bust till Thibs came here.
Yeah.
That's a fact. So that's the start of the non bust because of Thibs. I think that's like the perfect proof of a non-bust. That and even Luol Deng was drafted by the guy before who drafted Jordan, because I think he's still in charge and everything with the GM stuff until then. Then you got Rose, who was handed to – I don't even count that because what was it, like 1.4% chance of getting that draft that was handed to them, obviously. And then
– Butler was a good pick.
That was it for that. Yeah, but that's I'm just doing this until Rose gets there. I mean, until Thibs gets there, because then after Thibs, I think it was Thibs, and it's not this drafting. Because then if these guys were so great, if Garpax was so great at drafting, then why is it all their draft picks are complete busts until Thibs gets here? That's my whole argument. And then 2010, yeah, then it starts making more sense, but these people had, you know, the chance to Thibs. James Johnson, and then that's the last guy. So you have all those guys, total busts, and then Thibs gets here. And then, obviously, you know, everybody knows the draft pick since then, and it's been great. So my whole argument is people don't realize how big of a drop-off this is in terms of playing and just – even Derrick Rose, like, that's what allowed him to step up to MVP was Tom Thibodeau. And I just think Thibs' effect is going to be a lot greater than people think. The other thing, too, is why do you have faith – well, listening. Why do you have faith in – Garpax being able to sign a new coach, because they've been horrible up until Thibs. So like,
that's my concern.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, we're gonna get another Vinny Del Negro or Scott Skiles who lets team fall apart. Like, I don't see it.
My whole point about like the Bulls, I don't know if Garpax make the hire, but my overall point is Thibodeau isn't the end all be all, but Garpax has to make the right hire, not hire a yes man. That's my worry. They're gonna pull a Hallis Hall and get some guy like Mark Trussman to run the whole entire thing, and then before you know it, the Bulls are, you know, their talent's moving on, people are leaving a free agency, people are moping around not playing hard. That's my concern, but there are good coaches out there that could win the Bulls a championship, but the problem is they have to make the right hire, they have to get that hire. That's a search for a guy like Atlanta, where they have the Spurs assistant, get someone like that. But the problem is someone like that is going to think like Thibodeau, because they think like Pop, so, you know, that's my concern, is that they're going to hire somebody who's just not – who's going to be a yes man, who's going to do whatever they want. So, but they can win a finals. They have a talent. They just have to get the right coach.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, is with the whole actually, I totally lost my train of thought. But with that whole
we can segue to Bears, though.
What I was saying, we should start a whole new show for that, because we're not going to cover all that in the archive. But what were we talking about beforehand at the start of that with the whole Tom Thibodeau thing?
Yes, there's other good coaches you can hire, but the problem is I don't know if they'll make the good hire, and I think they might hire a yes man. But I said, but you get a guy like who went to Atlanta. I grant we don't know how great of a coach he is, but he's one of Pop's old assistants. So if you could hire somebody, there's good. My overall point was good people out there, but I think Garpak's going to hire somebody who's going to do whatever they want.
Yeah, and then
like a Mark Trestman
talent. So yeah, I guess that's pretty much it for that. I totally forgot what I was going to say, but we could end this and go into Bears next show if you want.
Unless well,
is there anything
well.
Else to wrap up with this? Well, I guess it's a random Punzo's random last second comments, totally unrelated at the end of the show. It's like a thing now. There's the Kobe Bryant's documentary. Muse or whatever. That was actually really good. That's what happens when you have a team of perfectionists make something. It always turns out pretty good. That's
actually a
good documentary. Even though the plot is like, that's the point of watching this. It's actually pretty good. I enjoyed it. I don't watch many movies. Well, I do now because I can't move. But
Kobe's such a cool guy too. Like he's really cool. It's fun to listen to him talk.
Yep. And I guess are we wrapping up here?
I'm trying to think of more Mirotić comments.
Yeah,
the guy basically won a championship every year of his semi-professional and professional career. Like he won like two or three under 20 leagues. He won three under 20 titles, and then he was the Spanish League MVP. He's basically got in a Bulls uniform. My prediction is I predict that Mirotić is the next Hall of Fame European great, barring any injury.
It just makes our predictions crazy. Because now we're wondering if this is like a curse or it's just like, does it just happen? It's like, we thought we were good at predictions. Maybe things just happen. It doesn't matter what we say. We're not even predicting. We're just like, I mean, I don't know. But anyways. But yeah,
I'm looking at Mirotić highlights as we're watching the show. He's so efficient. He's so good. He's like, not super smooth, but he is smooth. He's not like Kukoc smooth. I don't even know. Oh, speaking of Kukoc. When Kukoc, if he lets him work with him, oh, my God, or just talk to him and
get his opinion. And stuff.
Just get passing tips.
See, I think, too, once Mirotić meets Kukoc, like, Kukoc is going to love Mirotić like everybody else, and I think he is going to start working with him.
Probably.
Because, by the way, for those who don't know, the middleman, the guy who brought Kukoc over here in the first place, he's the one who also brought over Mirotić. And Kukoc and him are really close friends, and Mirotić is starting to be close friends with him. So it's kind of like, it's just like a middle friend thing. Like, eventually you're all going to meet together. He hasn't talked with him yet, but Kukoc has said that he wants to, if he wants pointers, he's more than happy to give them to him and stuff. So that would be great. That, and plus, like, the whole Bulls locker room in general is giving Mirotić. Like, even Aaron Brooks was saying how he helps him out all the time. So, everyone loves this guy.
Well, and Joakim Noah, I think, probably is the biggest fan.
Yeah,
Joe is raving. He just raves about this guy.
Even Tibbs raves about him. Everybody loves this guy.
And probably like, I got to deal with a Derrick Rose guy again. Oh my God, ice.
But yeah, it's funny with the whole Mirotić thing. How he doesn't know what it's like to lose because he came out of high school. We should check his high school stats. He probably won four titles there too.
Probably did.
He's probably not won a championship his entire life. But no, yeah. So he won the three 18-20 or those two. I don't know which one it is. He said it was three, so that's probably it. And then he won the
they might have been four. I think it was four.
Oh, no, I thought it was like five total or four. But anyways, it's a combination of the 18 and 20.
Oh, yeah, it was five total,
Yeah, which is like basically the European college. And then after that, he won the real deal thing with Real Madrid. So he doesn't know what it's like to not win a title. So this is going to be his first time not winning a title in a very long time.
I love his whole attitude. He's just like, whatever.
Yeah,
that's like
the entire Bulls attitude. Oh, with that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be like the Eastern Conference final, or it's going to be like him versus LeBron in the fourth quarter. He's just going to be hitting these shots. It's just going to be like, how come you're not nervous? In Europe, this is just normal.
Yeah, no, that's the whole thing is people like discredit Europe, but Europe is a better, much better way to, in my opinion, to develop than going there.
Better basketball.
Like, honestly, now players should just go from high school straight to Europe and then play in the 18 to 20 leagues, or just play right away. Oh, yeah, they probably have a thing, too, where you have to be over 20 in order to play over, but still, man, that's not a bad option. Do that rather than college,
because it's technically a professional league. There's gonna be better play. It's better basketball. Like college basketball sucks. European basketball way better.
Although probably in terms of development, but in terms of scouting, you're not gonna get recognized playing 18 and 20 leagues unless you play in Europe. And then it's like you have to do the Mirotić role and get double contracts.
God, yeah, I can't wait till his three's like totally dialed in and he's like a lights out 3-point specialist.
Yeah, it's probably coming. He's just going to keep getting better at everything. This is
good. He was real hot last game.
He's been real hot, like, the whole month.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I know.
Random stat. He has the most points in the fourth quarter in the month of March.
Yeah.
For anybody in the NBA.
I know.
So it's just coming.
And he gets to the line like he's James Harden.
Oh, yeah. I love the stand on the three-point line pump fake and then shoot into him really weird. Like that's my favorite move. It's like, wow, three free throws. Right? It's better than Paul Pierce because Paul Pierce, like Mirotić shoots, like, right into him and acts like he's trying to shoot through a wall and, like, he doesn't understand why he can't shoot through the wall. It just looks like right, and then Paul Pierce does, like, the side lean, like, you know, wrap around him. Mirotić just, like, tried to shoot in his face, but acts like he just, like got hit by a bus while he tried to shoot.
Eventually he's gonna start making one of those.
Oh, I know, it's gonna be awesome. I think he did a couple times where he did that in mid range, but he didn't get the call. But he still made the shot at least. So that's probably why he didn't get the call. If he would have missed, they would have given him a call. But yeah, it's gonna be great to see what all goes down with the Titch-nator.
I can't wait. Like,
miracle.
I don't even care about Derrick Rose at this point. I mean, like, I love Derrick Rose when he's good. I wish he could come back and be the MVP, but I don't care anymore. Like, we have Nikola Mirotić and Jimmy Butler. Like, we have a really good team. The Bulls are legitimately a good team. Like, they have a very talented roster.
All right, yeah, we're just repeating ourselves.
I think I have a bad feeling about the next coach hire.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Scott Brooks doesn't survive this season, which I think he probably will, I have a feeling the Bulls would go after him.
What?
I don't know why. It's just a bad gut feeling.
God.
It's just a bad gut feeling.
That would be the all-time worst downgrade coaching staff in the NBA history. Like, that. Like, there is nothing. Oh, my God.
I have a bad feeling that I don't think – I think Scott Brooks is going to survive the season because of the injuries. But
yeah, but see, that's a whole other thing. That's like the most hypocritical thing ever.
I know.
So if Scott Brooks' guys get hurt, then it's not his fault. No, that's actually his excuse for why he's not good. But if his guys get hurt, he's still good. Like in 2012 and 13, like he had nobody. Like he had total garbage. Like this is way worse than the 07 Cavs without LeBron. Like this is like the worst roster ever. What does he do? And he still gets like the second round of the playoffs. He like wins the East. And it's like Scott Brooks, he like can barely get the A seed. Although he still has Westbrook, we only have one superstar.
Yeah.
Still, it's like, oh, cool. So what Dib should have done was in 2012 and 13, he should have like thrown the years, and that would have been an excuse, and then it wouldn't be his fault. Like, this is just the most hypocritical thing ever. But yeah,
that pretty much covers the Bulls for us.
All right, yeah, we'll wrap that up. We'll do Bears in the other show.
We gonna play our crazy outro music?
Yeah, we'll do that some other time, and we'll see you guys some other time, like in part two. So you better click that. See you later.